Welcome to the Operations Committee, and I would like to call the meeting to order. May we have roll, please? Here. I am told that item 56 cannot be considered by the committee today due to conflict, so if anyone here was wishing to address item 56 or staying over to do so, we will not be hearing that. This will be submitted to the full board. Item 50. Mr. Mitchell.
Good afternoon, sir. Okay. Customer complaints for the month of May were at 2.43 per 100,000 boardings, which represents an 11% increase over the prior month, but still below our goal of 2.5%. And year over year, this is an increase of about 10%. Through May, the bus operator assignment ratio decreased slightly to 1.165. However, I'd like to report that this week we're at 1.19, and we're on track to reach our goal of 1.20 by the end of July. The rail operator assignment ratio increased year over year. I just note that we're currently preparing for the expo opening, and over the balance of the summer and fall, we'll be positioning ourselves to have operators ready for expo assignments when that line opens. We're on target with a plan for fare revenues. May year to date, the actuals are slightly more than the plan. System-wide boardings, and the way we're reporting this now, including the Orange Line, were 1,188,000, representing an increase over April by almost 7%. For rail, average weekday boardings decreased by 2.6% from April. However, I would note this is a slight increase year to year. On the service reliability on bus in terms of measuring on-time performance, we continue improving that performance this month, getting us closer to the goal of 80%. For the month of May, the on-time performance increased to 76.31%, a year-over-year an increase of 2.27 percentage points. And this is possible because we continue the trend of decreasing the number of buses running hot. For the month of May, it's down to 4%, down from 4.1% the prior month. The CEO has made this a priority, and I know he would report that 4% is still too high. I would note that we did have four divisions down at 3% during the performance to continue working that. This next chart provides just some perspective from FY06 to year-to-date FY11. We were at 66% just two fiscal years ago. And if you go all the way back to FY06, we were less than 65% at that point. Again, going toward a goal of 80%. This chart is titled Cleanliness. It actually involves cleanliness and a couple measures on material condition. The goal is 8%. We were overall system-wide at 8.3% in June, a slight increase from May, and again slightly over the 8% target. It represents, the chair, I know you were not on this, nor Mr. Kanabe were not on this committee before. This inspection report represents 19 different inspection areas. On safety, bus accidents that we measure per 100,000 hub miles, they decreased this month to 3.24 per, again, 100,000 hub miles. Year to date, it's at 3.21. I would make a note, it doesn't show on the chart, that claims resulting from accidents are down substantially from over 3,600 in FY06. They were at 2,524 in FY10 and are going to be less, finish the year FY11 at less than 2,200. Mean miles between mechanical failures for this month decreased slightly below our target of 3,500. Year to date, we've improved, however, 10% from the prior year. The performance this month was impacted by engine related road calls. We've made a presentation a couple times recently on next trip usage. We had a soft kickoff a couple months ago, a formal kickoff after that, and since rollout, the usage has been increasing at a rate of almost 50% per month. So a good picture there. Subject to any questions, that completes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Are there any questions? I think next bus, or well, next trip, I know it as next bus. It's used in the Glendale municipal system, is a really great tool. It, speaking for myself, really went a long way to encouraging me to take transit, knowing that within 5 minutes my bus would be there and I wouldn't have to sit out, you know, and have all my constituents, you know, point at me and say, you know, what are you doing? So I think it's great that we encourage that, and I think it just facilitates the efficiency of the entire system. So let's.
We received a report briefing several months ago from a professor at UCLA, and the point she made after studying transit statewide is some of the investments made in facilities aren't appreciated as much as having information on arrival time.
Okay, thank you. No other questions? We will receive. I'm sorry. Oh, Mr. Walsh. I thought this was left over. How could I forget?
Okay, thanks.
Good friend, Mr. Walsh.
You should also mention in the report crime, because the sheriffs here are doing a very excellent job in fighting crime. And one of the reasons people do not take the blue line at Rosa Park Station, it is the crime center of the entire rail universe. Okay, let's go back to the year you opened the Pasadena line. You had 1.3 million riders a month. 6 years later, 1.1 million riders. In other words, you've opened up a major rail system over 14 miles, and your ridership went down. And the answer to that is cut another million riders out of the bus service. That's what you want to do. Where's the money to build it? Where's the money to operate the Crenshaw line? Don Knabe said, oh, that's the missing part of the puzzle. It isn't the missing part of the puzzle.
Thank you. I don't have that historical information. However, if I could get that, and let's just not limit it to 6 years back, if we can go back 10 years and so on, just look at the ridership and perhaps milestones, you know, along the way in terms of new lines and new facilities being available, just so we could have a discussion on that.
Mr. Chair, if I might, yesterday we got a request for some analysis on ridership and fares and how they relate. Maybe we'll dovetail with us with that and bring it back.
I think that would be, they'd be relevant to be taken together. Okay. Now, with no objections, the report shall be received. 51, please.
Commander Jordan with the Sheriff's Department. Before I get into my presentation, I want to talk about an operation we conducted yesterday. We formed a task force with LA Unified School Police in July, an anti-graffiti task force. And basically, we shared information with them. They gave us information, and we identified several suspects that they had arrested over the past year, but we were unaware of. So we hit 16 of those locations yesterday. They were on probation. And we also conducted 8 search warrants for an ongoing investigation that we had, we've been working. And we made 8 arrests, including the clearing of cases worth about $100,000 worth of damage on the Green Line and South Bay bus areas. So this is an ongoing task force we're going to be working for the next 4 weeks. We have another 40 suspects that we've identified through this information sharing, so we're going to be very busy for the next few months taking down taggers that have been tagging the transit system.
Are you using the graffiti tracker?
We are using graffiti tracker, yes.
What is that exactly?
Graffiti tracker and taggers. We use both.
It's a program that the sheriff has implemented. I know in parts of my district out in the southeast area where they can physically, you know, do the moniker kind of a thing, and then they move a mile away, and then all of a sudden you match up, and all of a sudden you get a track, you know, and you can really chase it, and it's been very successful.
Taggers. So, okay, I wanted to talk about 3 things today. The first is Fair Evasion. Director Fasana asked for an update. Go to that slide, Mike. Let me explain this chart to you. About 2 years ago, we started auditing our fair enforcement operations. Because we measured how many people we contacted, we measured how many people we cited, but we didn't really do any regular measuring of what our actual fare evasion rate is. And in April, we did the audit. We're also doing an audit for July. Our quarterly audit is this month as well, and it's actually going on today. And what we do is we hit each line. We get a sampling from each line. We want to be very exact in how many people we contact, how many people don't have fare. And then we look at the evasion rate by different lines, and you see the blue line are a little higher than the other lines. Then we weight them according to what ridership they represent for the average daily ridership, and we come up with our evasion rate. And you see on day shift, this was a uniform operation. We mix it up. Sometimes we'll do plain clothes. Sometimes we'll do uniform. Sometimes we'll do it at the station, and sometimes we'll do it on the trains. And this one was at a station, at the stations, and on the 6-hour period, we were at 1.77 evasion rate, and on PMs, we were 2.40 for an evasion rate. We also started measuring some tap card analysis. This was the first time we measured this. We wanted to look at how many of the folks that we contacted actually had tap cards and how many of those people actually tapped prior to us contacting them. And what we found is at that time, 21% of the folks that we contacted actually had tap cards. Now, we did Union Station on this one, so Union Station represents a large number of riders who don't have tap cards because they're Metrolink riders and they haven't converted over yet. But of all the folks that had tap cards, about 15% did not tap. So I'm curious to see what our results for this month will show, and I'll bring that back to this committee next month once we have those results. There has been a very active public awareness campaign about tapping. We're assisting Metro with that, so I'm hoping that those numbers will be a little lower. The second subject I want to talk about was Metro Security's responsibilities. You've heard me talk about what the Sheriff's Department does and the security assistants do. I needed to focus a little bit about what Metro Security does. They're responsible. They have several duties. They're responsible for protecting the Gateway headquarters. They're responsible for protecting these board meetings, as you see them here, when we conduct these meetings. And they also protect the cash collection facilities. They escort, next slide, Mike. They escort the revenue vehicles, and they protect they protect the civilian collectors. They also do sweep operations. So at the nighttime, when the red line closes, they sweep the stations, they check the tunnels to make sure there's nobody in there before they shut the system down after revenue service. In the morning, they go back and they open the system up and make sure everything's okay before the passengers come in. They also have mobile patrols. They'll respond to calls for service at the bus divisions if there's problems with the vaults. They'll also do facility checks. They're required through the PUC to do checks at all the security checks at all the facilities, and then log those things, and then we report that stuff to the PUC. And they also issue parking citations in metro parking lots, generally for the those folks who have the tickets so that they get preferential parkings. Metro also has three canines. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me introduce a couple of our representatives from Metro Security. Lieutenant Jake Lopez.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate that.
And one of our canine handlers, Officer Lozano. Well, dog is probably outside. I think, what's your dog's name? Is that Officer Medrano? Awesome. Okay. Sorry about that. Also, they have three canines, and we use the canines to go to the bus divisions, and they'll sweep the bus divisions and the buses before they go in into the field. We also have a cadre of private security, about 100 folks that we deployed in various metro facilities and parking lots, and their job, obviously, is to limit access control to only those folks that have business at those facilities and report any suspicious activity, maintain a high level of visible presence. Mike, you want to advance the, and then, also protect the employees and patrons at those facilities. Anything that's hazardous, they're supposed to report that, any unsafe conditions. Obviously, any crime or any suspicious behavior, they're responsible for reporting that and documenting it. They're also, both Metro Security and Private Security are also responsible for customer service and helping direct visitors and vendors to the right locations. Security will initially contact Metro Security for any issue that is a security-related issue, and then they will also contact law enforcement for law enforcement-related issues. One of the big challenges we have is our parking lots, and I want to talk a little bit about how we want to change the functions of the security departments, both Metro Security and private security, and it's related to my initiative on intelligence-led policing. We want to look for more active monitoring of our CCTV cameras. We have over 400 CCTV cameras on the system, and they're passively monitored, meaning when an event happens, we look, or occasionally we'll stumble across something, but we don't have active monitoring. I want to explore the use of using MTA security to actively monitor those cameras under our direction. They would focus on where we have crime issues or where we have reports of quality of life issues, and report those things to the Sheriff's Department so we can respond in a more timely fashion. The other thing I want to do is, and we've already started this, is as we have crime trends, we want to look at how we can use private security in the parking lots or other locations and adjust their deployment to where we are having our problems. Right now we're getting hit along the Green Line. We've had an increase in crime in the parking lots. Now we have staff there, they're in the parking lots that are getting hit, but it's not deterring it sufficiently enough. And what we've identified is you leave anything electronic in your car, a phone charger, a Garmin charger, anything that can be sold, they're breaking in and they're taking it. So I've asked the security staff to hit up our contract security, and instead of just passively standing in the parking lot, what we're going to ask them to do is examine every car in the parking lot and put something on their window. If they see an electronic, please secure your electronics or anything in the trunk before getting on the trains. And hopefully we can reduce some of this crime by using our security staff a little smarter and teaching the public on what to do. Why am I powerful? There we go. Next slide, Mike. I want to talk a little about disaster preparedness. This was an issue that had come up and I'd asked to report on. I really want to talk about what the Sheriff's Department at TSB does, not the broader county response or Metro's response. When there's an earthquake or a large disaster, Mike, can you go next slide, please? And the next slide after that. We immediately assess what's going on. In an earthquake, for example, we'll check the critical areas in a city, or in this case, it would be the transit services. We look for all the critical facilities to see just a visual inspection of how the earthquake impacted it to us. We will report that and our ability to operate to the county EOC, and they'll begin to assess how severe the earthquake or the incident was so that they can begin planning and where they need to address resources. So we'll look at how it impacted the system. The watch commander will then report that to the county EOC. And then if we were engaged in operation and we had fire life safety issues or security issues, crowd control issues, we would work with the fire department and Metro in dealing with any evacuation problem while they assess their system and get it back up and running. I think the key for transit is our goal is to help Metro get back up and running and get service going once the disaster has occurred and any fire life safety has been dealt with. In any earthquake, you're going to want to look for your transit system to be a key part of recovering the entire region. So our goal would be to help them do that. We would establish a command post to work with these various agencies and open up our EOC if it was a large enough event. We would look to the county EOC to deliver resources for us to do this mission. And if we could handle it in-house, then we would advise them that if we were up and running and what we could do to assist the rest of the county and cities in the county. We would set up a response objective. So we would want to identify the problem and how we're going to respond to that. What resources we would direct to those locations. And then as the event winds down, we need to have a demobilization and restoration plan. Those are all things that are basically in our plan. Obviously, you need to be flexible depending on the disaster that you face. But like I said, our goal is to assist Metro in getting back up and running and providing service. And then, of course, you do an after-action plan whenever you have a large event like that. That concludes my report. If anybody has any questions?
There was reference made by an earlier speaker about the conditions at the Rosa Park station. And can you comment on that?
Yeah. We've had an increase in robberies of cell phones and gold chains, surprisingly. That used to be something we had years ago, and that's come back as a problem on our system. I recently met with the chiefs of police around the country. They're not experiencing that. The cell phone robberies are typical. So we've applied some additional law enforcement to the Blue Line, and in the first 6 months of the year, we've seen a 17% decrease in the Part 1 crimes on the Blue Line, and most of those are crimes against persons, so those would be robberies and assaults. So those numbers are coming down, but it's kind of a yin and yang. Now we've got a little bit of an uptick in crime on the gold or the Green Line, but those are property crimes in the parking lots versus the crimes against persons. So we're dealing with the issues on the Blue Line, and I'm happy with the trend that we're seeing in a drop in crime.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Is there a comment on that? I don't have 51. Mr. Walsh.
An excellent job, and so is Metro Security. And I want you to know that the worst are these contracted security guards. They're not worth the $9 you pay them. That's the reason there's crime here. They're not even guarding the Green Line. And also, 50% of everybody who uses our parking lots do not use the subway. They do not use the rail. At the airport, you can see them at 5 o'clock. They come in and pick up their car and then go home. What everyone does that? People park their car. They work at the airport. They park their car at the Green Line and then they go to work. We have a hero here recently who's sitting in this room for Metro Security who saved a family from almost being burned to death in a nearby building. I'm telling you right now, hand over all security to parking lots, to Metro Security, and let's get rid of these people who are using Metro lots for free parking.
Do we have a large number of people using Metro lots and then going to other locations to work? And do we have a policy on that? Maybe you can come back to us with some information on that.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's a problem wherever you have a parking lot, whether you're Metro or whether you're any other organization, and if your employer doesn't have the parking available or is charging for it, you're clearly encouraged to park somewhere else and then get on to work. Okay, with no other public comment on that, no other questions, we will receive that report at 51. 52, please.
Director Najarian, I might just try to answer your last question a little bit before you move on.
Yes.
since the Ethics Department handles the parking second-level citations in the agency. We do occasionally receive parking citations. Sorry.
We're just clearing up.
No problem.
I haven't called 52 yet. This is still regarding 51.
Correct, sir. Your question you asked about utilization of parking lots by persons who are not utilizing our system. We have, on occasion, processed some parking citation appeals concerning cases where someone did get a ticket because they were using our lot and then parked at our lot and then left the facilities. So that's only a very small clip that I have of vision as to how much citations are issued on that basis. But I do know that they do issue citations periodically based on that because we see them in the parking citation appeals process. So just wanted to answer your question to the extent that I could at this time. Thank you.
Now, item 52.
That'll be handled by Dwayne Martin.
Right there.
Okay. Good afternoon, Directors. Chair, Mr. Leahy. How are you doing? Item 52 is the subject of the MOU between the LA Metro and the Sheriff's Department. The action we're requesting today is to execute a two-month extension and modify the not-to-exceed amount of $11,167,883. We'd like to recommend to authorize the CEO to exercise a negotiated two-month extension to the MOU for the sheriffs with the Portraza Community Policing Services and execute a modification to the contract to provide funding for FY12 Transit Community Policing Services in the amount not to exceed $10,940,000 for the period of August 1st through September 30th, 2011, and specified services in the amount of $227,000 for access services for the period of July 1st through June 30th of next year. And this will revise the total contract value from $138 million and change to $149 million. The rationale, sirs and ladies, staff is currently working with the sheriffs to review and revise the ways in which law enforcement security's assets will be deployed. This MOU extension action is recommended to allow additional time for staff to complete the negotiations with the sheriffs for FY12 Transit Community Policing to address the deployment of personnel and annual contract value. We are absolutely confident we'll be able to bring back the contract request in September.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any cards from the public on this? Mr. Walsh.
United Riders of LA, URLA, formed in 1984. LA twice, Los Angeles Transportation Whistleblowers in favor of congressional inquiry, and HollywoodHighlands.org support the extension.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? Okay, so two more months, hammer out the agreements, and we'll look for something final at the end of September.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And are there any objections to that? Nope. To that direction? Thank you. Such will be the decision. 53.
This is to establish a life of project budget for the Metro Red Line Tunnel Lighting Rehabilitation Project, and presenting will be Martin Battistelli.
Good afternoon, Directors, Chair, and Mr. Leahy. Item 53 is an action to establish a $9 million life of project budget for Metro Red Line and Purple Line Tunnel Lighting Rehabilitation. The project will be replacing the lighting that's in the fluorescent lighting that's in the tunnel right now from Union Station to North Hollywood, and also adding new lighting in the segment 2 and 3 sections of the tunnel. There's several reasons that we have to do that. One is increase the lighting level to acceptable standard. It's right now, it's after some testing, it was found to not be compliant. And also, it will give us energy savings and and work savings over the life of the project. We'll be replacing the lighting over a course of 5 years.
Okay.
There really is a compelling safety reason to do this work.
I understand the tubes degrade and lighting and the covers. But my question is, are there any funds available from LADWP under the public benefits charge? I know in certain cities, large institutional users are granted funds which have been basically accumulated by the utility for lighting upgrades and efficiency upgrades. And I'm wondering if we've looked into that at all and if that's something that we're even eligible for.
I'm not aware of that, but I can look in to see if we have any eligibility in that area.
We'll do that.
Okay. Thank you. That's my only other comment. Other comments from my colleagues? I have a public comment. Item 53, John Walsh.
Thanks, Martin.
Of everybody on the board, I would say above suspicion would be Mike Antonovich, Najarian, maybe one or two others, a Fasana, above suspicion. Okay, this is my challenge to you, former Mayor Najarian. I know you'll be mayor again soon. You walk the tunnel that Tudor built from 7th Street to Union Station. Come here at night, come here at 1 in the morning, come at 5, and you put on all the boots, and you walk, and you see the state of that tunnel. It is a disgrace. And the only reason you're doing this is because the Public Utility Commission said it was unsafe and made you fix it. They didn't want to fix it. In other words, this agency doesn't give a damn about the lives of bus riders or rail riders. And I ask you to do it and walk through that tunnel. It's about 3 miles. You're a young enough man to do it.
No, I mean, not. Well, I mean, it is a goal, I think, of the entire board to make sure that our tunnels are kept as reasonably clean and safe as possible. I personally have not walked the tunnels, and when I'm zipping by in the car, I don't get a very good picture of that. But perhaps we can get a report on the tunnels and just make sure that they are being kept clean. And
I've reported to you in the past that we've had some deferred maintenance, and we are commencing now to attack some of that. We just did a deep clean, first time in probably 15 years on Metro Center. Was in horrible condition, but we are going in the right direction now. We'll be happy to bring back a report on that segment of tunnel.
Thank you.
Mr. Jones, did you want to say something quickly?
I could answer that question about the rebate if you wanted.
Quickly.
Yes. Basically, on the rebate, we have, over the last 2 years in preparing this lighting life of project budget, was that we're asking depending on the type of facility, fixture, the amount of rebate varies. So in the call for projects and going through advertising, that would be one of the beneficials that would be coming out of
the
award.
Good. Thank you. That's good to know that we're always looking to keep the costs down. Okay, that was a item regarding the lighting, the tunnel lighting rehabilitation. Is there a motion? By Kanabi, a second by Director Huizar. With no objections, that item is approved. 54.
Be presented by Dan Lindstrom. This involves an MOU with the SCRRA on the use of fiber optic cable.
Good morning, Board. Daniel Lindstrom, Wayside Manager. This is a MOU before you to share infrastructure of fiber optic cables between Metrolink and MTA. Very briefly, MTA would receive fiber down San Gabriel right away, out to the various facilities along the 10 freeway, and also fiber to the Alameda corridor. In exchange, MetroLink would receive fiber that Metro owns along the Valley subdivision and out to the Chatsworth station, which would work towards their positive train control. It's quite that. It's great. That simple.
Fiber swap.
Yes.
Are there any cards from the public on this item? Okay. Are there any questions from the directors? Okay. Motion by Kanabe and second by Huizar, and no objections. This item is approved. 55, please.
55. I'll be joined at the table by Mike Singer. This is a request that the committee make a finding that there is only a single source of procurement for Cummins bus engine. We had previously had a procurement approved by the board. We had competed engines with a Korean company, Doosan. So we had potential for having competition in this business. They were delayed in getting the engine certified, and so that delayed the program for a while. That approval was finally granted, and then we had some issues with the reliability on these Doosan engines on the first few buses that they were installed on. We have an engine production line to keep going, and in order to keep the line going, this is a request that you authorize a single source of procurement on the Cummins engine while we continue working with Doosan on addressing the issues we've had with the competitive Doosan engine.
So is our hope that at some later point Doosan will be able to enter in competition for these engines?
Yes, sir.
Any cards from the public? Any comments from
Singer, anything?
You have anything to add, Mr.?
No, this is Mike Singer. He's a third-generation MTA employee, so he works in the maintenance area, obviously.
Should we do this, Mr. Singer?
We can do it.
Based on that recommendation of the third-generation employee, motion by Kanabe, second by Huizar, and no objections, this item is approved.
Thank you.
56, as we stated, is being taken off calendar and submitted to the full board due to conflicts. 57 is the appointment of Joseph Mosca from Sierra Madre to the San Gabriel Valley Governance Council. Is there a motion for that? By Kanabe, second by Huizar, and no objections. That item is approved. 58 is the CEO report.
Just want to comment for you that obviously we had a great weekend. We were able to get the freeway.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I was just handed. These are both on 58, not from the one we just zipped through. Okay. I'm sorry.
Had a good weekend. Got it done early. Very pleased with the result. When the road opened up and the first 15, 20 minutes cars were going by, they saw us up on this slope. People were – we had a bit of a civic celebration with people honking and waving V signs and all that. Very good weekend. We got a letter the other day from the FTA regarding the two New Starts projects asking us to assume $200 million per year, $100 million per project. They've offered to reopen that number in the event the conditions improve in Washington. And lastly, they are concerned, this is a technical problem, about the downtown regional connector because it's a higher than 50% federal share. They'd like us to do some swapping of funds between the red line and the connector, so that they're both 50% or under. We've said to them, well, wait a minute, if you look at the eight locally funded New Starts, the federal share is only 20% overall. So we'll be keeping the board posted on this and negotiating with the FTA. And with that, I will conclude my report.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy. I have a request from Kimberly Richards, followed by John Walsh.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, one more thing. On Friday, we are releasing and recirculating a supplement to the Regional Connectors Draft EIR. Thank you.
What?
The Draft EIR.
On the Regional Connector?
Yes.
That's sort of big news, isn't it?
Well, that's why I just mentioned it.
But I mean, excuse me, can I sort of...
Please, Director.
That's sort of like bigger than, oh, by the way.
Yes, sir.
So what's going on?
There are some technical issues that staff wants to address by reissuing the document and receiving comment. for a 45-day period to make sure we have all the I's and T's.
And the members will be get a board box us up into issues that are being readdressed?
Yes, sir.
That's big.
Yes, sir.
Nothing FTA generated?
I don't believe so, but I may be wrong.
All right. Well, I'm not just for myself, but I think all members need a briefing on.
Yes, sir.
Sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Kimberly Richards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kimberly Richards, Chair of the Metro San Fernando Valley Service Council. I just wanted to say with a certain amount of pride before this committee that the two service councils affected by Carmageddon, my council and Westside Central, you know my colleague, Mr. Wright, from that council, that we did not sit by idly just saying, oh, well, these things are being handled at a higher level, that I say with some pride that we worked with the CEO's office to help implement the board direction about fare free service over last weekend, and that working with Mr. Leahy and Mr. Taylor, that we came up with the lines that were made fare free to help people avoid the 405 closure. And we just think it's appropriate that the board knows that the service councils did step up when needed for an agency-wide situation. And that's the reason I wish to address you this afternoon. Thank you.
Please extend at least the committee's appreciation for your work, all the sectors, especially the two most affected, in getting the word out and helping us get those fares adjusted and having it turn into essentially a non-event.
We, as I say, Mr. Chairman, we're very proud of our small role in helping over this past weekend. And I will communicate that to the San Fernando Valley Council, and I'm sure Mr. Wright will do the same to Westside Central.
Keep up your hard work.
Thank you.
John Walsh.
This is for the record, for the federal record and any investigation. The budget, the bridge demolition schedule was stretched out at the order of Art Leahy, signed off on it, illegally. Mayor Villaraigosa wished the project to be reopened, ideally, in the second schedule at noon on Sunday. In fact, the project opened the freeway opened 17 and a half hours early at 11:30 a.m., although the job had been completed 3 hours before that. And it sat there while you prepared, and you could have opened it then, prepared the press conference. Now, the $300,000, the reason they wanted it by noon is so that Peter Kiewit, the father of the sinkhole, Kiewit Shea Corporation, could, in fact, receive his $300,000 and save $700,000 by taking the last shift off. It's on the record now. Get your criminal lawyers. Thanks.
Mr. Walsh, do you have a general public comment as well?
Yes. Incidentally, Mr. Najarian, I believe, is a criminal lawyer. I just want to say, if you want the analysis, and he has a copy of it because he was given it at the Transit Coalition. Art Leahy was given a copy of the analysis of ridership on the buses that Tom Rubin, former employee of RTD and MTA, you have it from him. You can get it from Art Leahy, that analysis. He was controller of RTD. And I want to say, you know, I've seen the people who deny the Holocaust. Their documents are perfect. But go out and take a look at the concentration camps. And that's what I'm asking you to do, Mr. Najarian. Go out and take a look for yourself on what's going on there. And don't feel that there are little reports that say that there is no problem. He already said today, he said it was a disaster.
Okay, referring to the tunnels, the Red Line tunnel. Okay, any comments from board members? Thank you. If not, with a motion to adjourn. Thank you, Mr. The pleasure is mine, Director Kanabe. Thank you. We're adjourned.